The PT Pinecast is powered by Smart Tools, the next generation of instrument-assisted soft tissue mobilization. The fastest-growing approach to IASTM is Smart Tools, from high-quality American-made tools. Smart Tools. Find them online at smarttoolsplus.com. The first round is on Owen's Recovery Science. Owen's Recovery Science is a single source
for PTs,
OTs,
ATCs,
DCs,
and other medical professionals
seeking certification
in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training. Find out more and get certified
at owensrecoveryscience.com.
Lucky enough to talk to Canadian physio Curtis Tate about a post he actually wrote on social media that I read, and it made me feel good about how confused I often am about this thing we call physio. We also talked a little bit about the Therapeutic Alliance and how best to stay current on research. That and more on this episode.
The best conversations happen at happy hour.
Come on.
Welcome to ours. This is the PT Pinecast.
Gotta go hard or go home.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. Our next guest studied kinesiology at the University of Victoria in British Columbia, became a PT in 2012 at the University of British Columbia. Currently, he maintains a diverse interest in treating all types of conditions, very diverse, spinal pain and headaches to hip, knee, and ankle conditions, all the way to TMJ dysfunction, chronic pain, and spinal cord injuries, just to name a few. Welcome to the PT Pinecast, Curtis Tate. Curtis, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jimmy. It's great to be here. I'm excited to, like I said when we first touched base, I love geeking out about physio stuff, so any opportunity I get.
Yeah, well, we cross paths. I don't even remember which social media platform it was on, but with one particular post, and I want to read it because it's brief, but what it did was it made me feel good, and here's why. Because I'm a PT who's been a PT for just over a year now, and what it did was, very succinctly, is it made me feel better, and I think the listeners will figure out why after I read it. So here it goes. You wrote, "I get it. It does feel like there are a lot of different views out there, and here's my take." You go on to say, "Exercise and self-efficacy are king," from Adam Meekins. "Know that biomechanics don't explain everything, and adaptability to any load is an important concept to get across to patients," from Greg Lehman. "Manual therapy doesn't have to be specific to be effective," from Urson Religioso. "It can modulate pain well," Urson and Greg mixed together, "and should give way to active treatment ASAP," Adam Meekins and Greg mixed together there. "Consider your patient's beliefs, worries, and expectations surrounding their pain experience," all the people we mentioned previously, and now also throw in Peter O'Sullivan. "And humans are more robust than patients and therapists realize." All the guys, but mostly Adam, Greg, and Peter. "I would hope to love to chat about it sometime with you," and you go on to say, "I hope it helps in the meantime. Keep your head up. I know you're processing a lot of info. Let me know if you want to chat on the phone." I know this was written to somebody else, Curtis, but I literally read it and I was like, I want to talk to this guy on the phone because it was great. And literally you wrote it after every sentence with what your particular view was about a particular approach. You credited that particular PT. And we're talking about Peter O'Sullivan, Adam Meekins, Urson Religioso, and Greg Lehman, all who have, I mean, if there was a big Venn diagram, they would be separate, but they would also have this kind of crossover. And that's what I thought your post did really well.
Yeah, no, that was in response to a colleague and friend of mine had just messaged me on Facebook and was kind of expressing some frustration on just the big physio players in social media, just and how diverse their views seem to be and how they tended to rebut and combat each other and how confusing it was. I know when I started out, that's absolutely true. Not even from a social media standpoint, but just all the different ideologies they are out there in physiotherapy, that it just seems really confusing to know which way to go.
Like you said, navigating the weeds of information, because as they have these conversations, they all have these links to literature that support either what they're saying or refute or undermine what the other guy is saying. And they do seem to go at it on social media. And I, as a person who's been a PT for a year, is left sitting here going, well, shoot, who's right, who's wrong, or maybe even more effectively, where do I go from here with this information?
My point of view, I suppose I'm a very optimistic, glass half full kind of guy, is that they all are right and that your particular approach doesn't have to be guided by any one ideology, that it should be kind of the best of all worlds, right? And taking the positive messaging out of everything is probably the biggest aspect for helping our patients, is presenting a positive view, being that clinical cheerleader, absolutely having clinical skills that can help modulate their pain with manual therapy, but knowing that maybe some of the reasons that we used to think that manual therapy worked, like tissue-based theories, right, don't hold up in the literature. At least that's my bias, right? And so,
but it doesn't mean you need to throw it out. It doesn't mean you need to stop doing it.
No, not at all. But I think that it does maybe reframe how and where and when you emphasize it, right? I think I also, you know, I think I said in that comment that, look, hands-on stuff, manual therapy, can modulate pain, but that needs to give way to active coping strategies as quickly and as soon as possible. Because I had the pleasure of meeting Adam when we had him come to Vancouver and do a course, and he has a great view on how self-efficacy is the biggest thing that we need to be instilling in our patients, right? And I've fully endorse that. And I've met Greg, and I know that those two have had some back and forth discussions on social media.
It's like watching two gladiators just throw haymakers at each other. It's really, really cool to kind of watch, but it's epic.
It is. And I think that's what our profession needs more of. It needs more discourse and challenging each other in a respectful way. And don't get me wrong, Adam and Greg, they like to throw the F-bomb around there a little bit. And so that can rub people the wrong way. But I think that having that passionate and inspired debate about literature and what works for people and where we should be pointing people is what we need as a profession to get better.
Well, so how do you take all of the things we mentioned, all the different approaches from guys like Peter O'Sullivan, Adam, Urson, and Greg, how do you keep things simple clinically then? How do you figure out when to do these different approaches, or is it a smorgasbord?
Yeah, it is a smorgasbord, but I would say, so Urson has his eclectic approach, right? Which is, I think, what we should be aspiring to. We should be thinking, okay, all of these different things work, right? It's finding which one works for a certain person, right? And the treatment-based classification for low back pain is a good example of that, right? McKenzie things will work sometimes. Manipulation things will work sometimes. Maybe exercise things will work as well, right? And we need to maybe figure out identifiers or patterns that help us choose. But if we're going to keep it simple from more of a 10,000 foot view, we should be thinking that we need to encourage people to move at the beginning and at the end, instill self-confidence and efficacy in them. If they are in a state where they need to have their pain under control, then we're going to use some hands-on treatment. But we shouldn't hold on to those hands-on treatment for too long, thinking that that's what's going to get them better. It should be giving way to exercise therapy, hopefully quickly. Sooner is better, right? Realistically.
Right.
I was listening to a podcast this morning by the BJSM, and it was discussing optimal loading. You know, when is optimal loading? And the speaker, whose name escapes me, said optimal loading is early. We just need to figure out what is an appropriate load.
Eric Mera would agree, you know, just load it. But it's good to see this, you know, especially, you know, for the listeners out there who are maybe similar to me in terms of time frame in the profession, is that, you know, I think there's so many social media gurus, and I'm not saying any of one of these guys is trying, you know, to do that, but there's so many strong opinions and approaches that a lot of other people, now I'm just speaking from an end of one, just me, I'm sure, left here going, man, is it one of them, or is it this mix? Probably likely, it's always a mix. It's never, you know, all the way to the left or all the way to the right. So to see your post really kind of made me feel, oh, good. Someone else is at least saying something that makes me feel a little bit better, that it's probably a mix of all these things. And maybe, you know, it's a progression of all these things. You can use it in some patients, or in other patients, maybe you just do need to load it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that every one of us has our biases, right? We have biases that we bring to the table. Adam's background is strength and conditioning, so obviously his bias is going to be exercise. Urson comes to the table and he brings a wealth of manual therapy experience, and he really dove into the McKenzie approach as well as manual therapy, so he's integrated those things really well. So his bias is some hands-on skills to modulate pain. Peter has, from my understanding, has run the gamut. He was very biomechanical and then had a bit of a turning point in his career and looked at it in more a biopsychosocial model, right? And that's his bent on things. So I think we have to consider that no one person can express the totality of what we need in physiotherapy as a physiotherapist, right? And they really have to focus on a message to get out there. Sometimes it feels like those messages conflict, but I think if we, again, zoom back farther back, like a 10,000 foot view, you'll see that there's a lot in that Venn diagram that you mentioned that overlap. And I think that's where we need to live, is in that overlap.
We'll take a break real quick. I want to talk about our friends from Arias Medical Staffing. These guys will find you a job anywhere across the United States, all 50 states. Everybody focuses on Hawaii. I just saw a posting go up from Las Vegas. So if you want to dodge, I don't know, Curtis, if you want to dodge the winter up there in Canada, maybe you want to work in Sin City, Vegas for 13 weeks. It's just an option.
Right.
Find out more online at ariusmedical.com. That's AURIUSmedical.com. They even help out paid travel and housing. Benefits, yes, those are included too. It's a common question. Do you get benefits if you're doing a travel assignment? All 50 states, like I said, and positions in a bunch of different settings. It's not just outpatient. It's not just inpatient. It's all of the settings that PTs work in. You can go from position to position or take time off in between. Your call, and even Con Ed money, because you got to keep up on your CEUs. You can get that done within Arias. Again, hit them up online. AURIUSmedical.com. Take a quick break. We got three questions coming up for you, Curtis. Don't be nervous. They're not hard. You didn't have to study.
Okay.
And then I want to get into therapeutic alliance and positive messaging. One more thing we can add to that Venn diagram, that mix. And we'll get to a parting shot with Curtis as well. Don't move. It's PT Pinecast.
We tweet, we post, we snap, we Insta. Online on all social media platforms at PT Pinecast.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry,
brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
It uses data from the profession
for the profession
to help you elevate your patient care, visualize your value, and define your future. The Outcomes Registry collects and aggregates electronic health record data from practices to help physical therapists make well-informed clinical decisions and track clinical outcomes against nationwide averages. By joining the registry, you'll gain a critical tool to demonstrate the value of physical therapy. It's easy. It's fast. It's the future. Find out more online now at ptoutcomes.com.
That's ptoutcomes.com.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry.
Brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
I wanted to thank our friends at Arias Medical Staffing for sponsoring the show and allowing it to be brought to you for free. Quite simply, they find physical therapists jobs with positions waiting for you right now in all 50 states. They do everything for you, and it doesn't cost you anything. They find you a job, organize and pay for your travel to and from the assignment. Free, private, and furnished housing is available. Great pay and, yes, benefits. They've been doing this for 30 years and are waiting right now to get you a job wherever you want to work. Connect with them at ariusmedical.com. That's AURIUSmedical.com.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now. And we're back in the PT Pinecast with Canadian physio. Physio? Physical therapist? What do you guys say up there north of the border?
Generally physiotherapist. Yeah, physio.
I think physiotherapist, I mean, I should be biased towards physical therapist because I'm American, but like, I do think physio sounds cooler. And I actually just converted my website over. It was ptpinecast.com, but it's now it's now ptpinecast.physio. Get to that. It'll get you to the same website, but I like it better. I think it sounds cooler. So you guys keep doing that. Eventually, us Americans will catch up.
Well, we got some influence down the way, right?
You guys have Nickelback and Bryan Adams and Celine Dion. What else do you want to influence?
Hey now, don't categorize us by that.
All right, three questions on the show, Curtis. What's some place you'd like to go? I know you've done British Columbia. You've done Victoria up there. Like, somewhere you wouldn't mind coming to the U.S.?
Doing
some PT.
Yeah. Oh, and working. Oof. Well,
for 13 weeks, if you had to do a short assignment, where would you go?
Yeah, Maui. Done.
Oh, yeah.
Done and done. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that one that comes up quite frequently. And yeah, our sponsors, Arias Medical Staffing, can do that.
They got
positions in Hawaii as well.
There you go.
Cool. What's something that you've read that really inspired you? It doesn't have to be PT related.
Oh, wow. That's a stretch because I think most of my reading is PT related because I just
well, it like can to be. You can go into
that. But I would say probably The Brain That Changes Itself. That was a great book. I'm not going to be able to remember it, but there was a great book called by Daniel Pink. To Sell as Human, I think, something along those lines.
That's his. Yep, Sell as Human.
Yeah, those two were awesome books. And Malcolm Gladwell's Blink was really good too.
Yeah, Blink, To Sell as Human, those come up, you know, quite often as books. So I just like to hear, you know, number one, a new book that I haven't heard of so I can go get it. Number two, if you hear the book, if the same books come up time and time again and you haven't read it, probably time to go get that book.
Yeah, I would agree.
Third question, who is someone inside the field of physiotherapy that the audience should know more about?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that probably what I would say is, there are great physiotherapists in your local area. You should be reaching out to them and creating a connection. Now, social media is great, but I think you should be looking for mentors and like-minded physios to be able to have a like we were talking about before, a professional and yet passionate and inspired debate about things. Right? I think that's cool.
No one's ever pointed that out before.
Yeah. So I would say you should be looking locally. You should be getting involved locally because that's when you can learn from each other, is having that discourse. When it's always kind of you looking at the conversation and not engaging in the conversation, I don't think you'll get as much out of it. As soon as you start to engage, then you'll get more out of it. That applies locally, but also I think on social media.
All right, you're off the hot seat. Three questions are done from our friends from Arius Medical. I want to talk about where we originally saw that post that we started the show with was from a posting from ampphysio.com. And talk a little bit what that is. It's something you started, but it's not an actual clinic.
No, that's right. It's not an actual clinic, although it kind of gives that sense just with the website and everything. AMP stands for Accelerated Motion Physiotherapy, and it was a group of four of us, myself and three other colleagues, two of which I work at in the same or with at the same clinic. And basically the idea was we really wanted to, especially locally in British Columbia, we wanted to step up the quality of physiotherapy. And our bias is that happens by focusing on the evidence and the foreground evidence, the clinically relevant evidence, rather than all the biomechanical and tissue-based stuff. We should be looking at outcomes-based research and seeing what improves people. And what we are aiming at doing is packaging information. We put out infographics, we put out blogs for people to help inspire them to move that way in a more easily digestible way. Mm-hmm. And then we're also bringing in courses. Like I mentioned, we had Adam come to town. We've helped Greg come to town and do a portion of his weekend, the running course that he does. Who do we have coming next? I think we have Jerry Durham and Jeff Moore are coming to town to do their combined course. So we're focusing on people that we want to learn from, obviously, but also who we think are moving physio in the right direction. And so
that's cool.
Yeah. So really, it's a bunch of passionate physios that are just trying to help the profession move forward in our local area, but also just generally.
I like the infographic that I found in first when I was doing a little research on you. The title is Got Pain? Beer Just Might Be the Answer.
So yeah,
love the fact that you even got the research behind
that. That was not me, surprisingly, but that was one of my colleagues, Steve Young, who is definitely into those kinds of things. Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll want to make sure the website, you can go and check out all that information, is ampphysio.com. Want to get into this therapeutic alliance and positive messaging. How do you bring that into your practice?
Yeah, so I think I'm going to start by saying that I have a large bias. And like I said, it's important that we recognize that. When I started my career as a physio, it was in a chronic pain management, in a WorkSafe chronic pain management program, so workers' compensation, which just meant that there was some really challenging cases, and therapeutic alliance really was something I struggled with early on because I was a convert to this pain science stuff and everybody needed to know it. And hey, you weren't moving yourself forward unless you knew about this. But it didn't always hit and land with people because they felt like I wasn't listening to them. They felt like I was trying to, for lack of a better term, shove something down their throat that they didn't want to hear.
Sure.
So that's where therapeutic alliance became pretty obvious for me, that needs to be a huge starting point. And then you can start to look at the plethora of research that's starting to come out that supports therapeutic alliance, helps improve outcomes. And there was in JOSPT, there was a great prospective paper on manual therapy being largely placebo-driven, but that doesn't take away from the efficacy of it, right? Mm-hmm. And a way that we can kind of get a bigger effect is to involve the context of our treatment, and that includes therapeutic alliance. So I try and integrate it by doing some simple things, listening, right? There's been some great discussion about how we often interrupt patients within the first 18 to 35 seconds. So give them 2 minutes and they usually speak their piece. And then getting to know what their goals are or how they measure success for what they came in for a long-term goal. And then for that session, especially on an initial assessment, I want to know what they expect to get out of that day. And then after we go through all of that, I'm going to follow up with the question, how was that today? Did that get us started in the direction you wanted out of coming in?
That's a good 10,000 foot view is, you know, what does success look like to you? How do you think we'd best get there? And then at the end, what did we get out of that? Did we get there? Did we fall short? And if so, where? How can we improve next time? Like, just, it sounds simple, but that 10,000 foot view really puts everything in perspective for everybody involved. This way there's no missing of expectations.
Yeah, absolutely. Even with those really obvious questions, it's still not as simple as that. Some people are taken aback by those questions. They're like, what do you mean? I came here because I have pain and I'm supposed to see somebody about it, right?
Right.
So you still need to dig in, but those are some really good starting places. And then in terms of the positive messaging, that's where I think there's some great discussions going on out there about how we use our language and how messaging can be iatrogenic if it's the wrong message, right? If we're creating words that harm and not words that heal, right? To steal a quote from a great paper. So positive messaging is us leveraging what we know about normative data and pain science to let them know that they're not in a situation that is irreversible, that it absolutely can change. And here's the things, I know you're in a lot of pain, but here are the good things about your situation, right? So ruling out the big nasty things, the red flags, telling them about that, and then giving them a positive message. There's some good, actually, GP study, I think it was in 1987, it was a while ago, where they took 200 people and they had symptoms but no signs of anything. And what they did is they grouped them into four groups. One was they got treatment or they didn't get treatment, and that was a placebo pill. And then the other was positive messaging or negative messaging, which was positive messaging was, I know what's wrong with you and you're going to get better. And negative messaging was, I don't know what's wrong with you and I don't know if you're going to get better. And what they found was that the placebo treatment had no real effect. It was 50% got better at 2 to 3 week follow-up, where positive messaging had a 64% of that group got better, and negative messaging, 39% of that group got better. So just by influencing them with a positive message of expectation of improving, you up your chances of someone getting better.
Yeah, and that's real simple. That's something simple that a physio can do. It doesn't cost anything, it's not invasive, yeah. And I mean, at worst, you're not doing any harm, I guess.
That's right, I think so. And you need to temper that, right? You need to be able to tell someone that, hey, look, you have pain. I'm not telling you go out and do everything you want to. You need to respect your pain, and we're gonna talk about how you can work with it as opposed to staying off it altogether, which is, I think, where people get into trouble when they just don't engage in life anymore.
Last topic we want to get into with you, staying current on good information. That's one thing that you guys at ampphysio.com help with, is making sure some of that information gets disseminated in a really digestible way.
Yeah, we're definitely doing our best to do that. So infographics is a way that we tend to do that pretty regularly. Take some great papers or papers that we think are great and put them out there. The one that we just put out was the really, I'm gonna call it a seminal paper on running and its protective effects at the right dose for hip and knee OA. In terms of recreational runners had a protective effect over sedentary people or competitive runners for hip and knee OA. So good information that you can leverage in the clinic to help give those positive messages, build therapeutic alliance, and guide your interventions based on what we're seeing in the evidence, because it is really tough to keep up with everything. So
sure.
I think that Greg, all of the people that we've talked about in terms of social media do a really good job of trying to put forward good, solid evidence, right, about our profession and where we should go with it. Finding someone that can almost selectively weed through the information and give you the best information, and having a source that you trust, right, that resonates with you, I think is an important thing to have as a physio, because we can't keep up on everything. So we need to figure out
The speed of life happening.
You know? Yeah. Exactly.
Speed of life is too fast.
Absolutely.
Last thing we do on the show, Curtis, we have our parting shots.
This is the parting shot.
Powered by Optum Manual Therapy.
Taking the orthopedic clinical specialty examination? To pass the OCS, it's important to understand clinical prediction rules, clinical practice guidelines, and recent research. Optum Manual Therapy has the premier OCS prep course that gets you from start to passing step by step.
Test out 3 free study guides right now at OptumFellowship.com.
So, parting shot of wisdom, what's one last thing you'd want to leave with the audience?
Oh, wow. I would say that stay confident. People are more resilient than we give them credit for. And when you have a fear of something happening, patient or a client or the end user, however you want to term them, they're going to pick up on that. So you need to stay confident and keep that confidence in the faces of uncertainty. I think that's a huge topic in medicine, including rehab, is the fact that we can never be certain, and that's okay. You need to be comfortable in that zone of uncertainty and know that you're doing the right things.
I like it. Follow him online on Twitter at Curtis_Tait. That's Curtis_TAIT. And more information, you could grab those infographics if you want to take a look and share those around. AmpPhysio.com. Appreciate your time. And I'm going to post the original social media post that you had. I just want people to read it because I think it made me, I know it made me, and hopefully it makes some other people feel better about this more, this Venn diagram-y approach to this thing we call physical therapy.
Yeah, absolutely, Jimmy. Thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Rocktape, more than just a tape company. Rocktape keeps athletes of all levels moving stronger, longer.
With the world's best kinesiology tape,
topical pain relief,
mobility equipment,
and protective gear.
And now physical therapists can get 20% off their first purchase right now at shop.rocktape.com.
Just use the code PTPINECAST at checkout to get 20% off.
That's shop.rocktape.com.
With the code PTPINECAST for killer savings of 20% off.
Rocktape, the world's best kinesiology tape.
Our home on the internet.
PTPINECAST.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jimmy McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.